Chapter 4. South.
Drink this, sweetie. You need to keep your strength up, said her mom.
Lucy sat up in her bed and reached out two small, shaky hands for the glass. She had no appetite, but forced down a few sips of cool soda. Her mom pressed a hand to her forehead and frowned sympathetically.
You're burning up.
I'm gonna call the school. No way you're going in today, said her mother, taking the glass back.
I'll call them. You stay here, said Lopez, giving Lucy's shoulder a squeeze and leaving the room.
He was wearing jeans. He suited them. A doctor entered and placed a thermometer under Lucy's tongue and a stethoscope against her back.
This is the third day in a row, said Lucy's mother, putting her hands on her hips and tilting her head.
Her heart beats regular. Temperature looks okay, too. Is there anything you want to tell me, young lady?
Said the doctor. Lucy scrunched up her Disney blanket and pulled it closer to her chin, shaking her head.
Would you mind giving us a minute? The doctor added.
Oh, of course, Doc, replied Lucy's mom graciously.
She stepped out into the hall, where she introduced herself to Dan. He was in ceremonial uniform and clutching a bouquet of lilies. He peered through the doorway, looking concerned. Lucy sat up to wave, but the doctor drew a curtain around the bed. He lowered his voice confidentially.
It's okay if you're not feeling sick. I won't be mad. Maybe there's something else making you not want to go to school?
Asked the doctor softly. Lucy chewed her lip. The doctor tilted his ear towards her.
I don't want Mommy to go back, whispered Lucy.
The cubicle lock clicked, and Lucy opened her eyes. Lopez entered, followed by three Chinese strangers clutching blankets and sleeping bags. They argued between themselves over who took which part of the floor, while Lopez knelt by Lucy.
What happened to you? Said Lucy, looking at Lopez's black eye.
It's fine. Here, I brought you some bread, replied Lopez, handing her two fistfuls of pita.
How did you get so much? Said Lucy.
For a prison, this place caters well, said Lopez.
What time is it? Said Lucy.
It's dusk.
I was out for the whole day.
You go back at dawn, so no wonder, said Lopez.
I didn't hear you leave, said Lucy.
I'm surprised. It was a noisy exit. They wanted you to work, but I suggested you'd live longer if you got more than 30 minutes of sleep each day. They took it well, said Lopez, pointing to his eye.
Thank you, said Lucy, blushing.
She tore off a chunk of bread. It tasted salty.
What did they make you do?
This place is insane. They're growing plants on levels 4 and 6, and they've replumbed the building to recycle all its water. It's like they've rounded up all the nerds in NYC and given them a purpose in life. Some of them seem pretty psyched about it, too. It's the weirdest thing. The nerds have got teams of grunts working for them. They have a lot of power, and they know it. Of course, the problem with glass cubicles is that when they abuse their newfound power, everyone can see it happening. But no one says anything. It's just accepted. The way some of the others look at the victims, it's like they all suddenly believe that person must deserve it, said Lopez.
What did they make you do? Repeated Lucy.
I was sent with some other grunts to go and loot the enemy's empty hotel. The Queen's guards secured the building, and a bunch of us were sent to go and raid the supplies, said Lopez.
Why didn't you run? You could have escaped, said Lucy.
We were guarded the whole time, but I think we may have an angle on getting out of here. I spoke to Willis, said Lopez.
The soldier? Asked Lucy.
Yeah, his hand's still fucked, and he's been ostracized. The others are treating him like he's toxic. They don't want anything to do with him. I think he's our way out. We'll approach him tomorrow. Rest up until then. You look like shit, said Lopez.
So glad you came back, said Lucy dryly.
I mean it. You need to regain some strength. Finish the bread, then sleep some more. Tomorrow, when they take us to the hotel, we'll get Willis away from the others and make our escape, said Lopez.
February 23rd, estimated.
It's nighttime. Can't get back to sleep. Someone on our level's still working, so at least there's some candlelight I can use.
Didn't think I'd ever get this notebook back. Lopez says the Queen gave it to him when Marissa returned to HQ last night, along with Rangecroft's diary. He's not said anything, but I'm guessing he read both. He might not have had time.
He's gone cold again. I probably talked about Rangecroft's notes too much. Dan always said people you serve with become like family. Something sure has flicked like a switch in Lopez's buttoned-up head, because he's back to being a jumped-up, pompous army prick. Before curfew, he reverted to calling me young and insisting I call him Major. Spoilers, in an army of two, that's not gonna happen. We compared lesions again. They're definitely getting worse. This led us on to arguing about where to go from here. He said DC because he's obsessed with DC. I said Boston because the only thing we've heard about anyone treating this disease was mention of a doctor in Boston. He accused me of avoiding DC, which is insane. If he's bothered to read this diary, he'll know full well that Dan's father's there. Besides, I'm damned if I'll tell the Major about my mother when I didn't get to tell Dan. I said if he ever wants to make it to DC, then we have to go to Boston first. I think he knows Boston's our only viable option, he just doesn't want to admit it yet. He had a go at me for the decisions I'd made so far, like the mall thing and picking up Maurice, so I told him his judgment had gotten everyone at Camp Oscar killed. He took that badly, and we argued some more. I told him he should stick to worrying about the people he'd lost, and I'd worry about mine. He's barely mentioned the fact that I saved his life yesterday. Didn't even ask for details. Thinks we're all square after one hug. Like I said, asshole. A loud bang struck the glass cubicle, shattering Lucy's deep slumber. "On your feet for the queen!" bellowed a guard, storming through the corridor, banging a stick against each cubicle as he went. The pale gray daylight of winter morning shone in from the windows. Lucy rose to her feet with the others and stumbled out into the corridor, where dozens of other residents were spilling out. People began jostling forwards, vying for a position near the front where guards held the crowd back with batons. Lucy guessed there were around 100 people crammed into her corridor, and probably the same on the parallel aisle. The elevator door opened with a ding, and the crowd erupted with cheers. Lucy craned her neck for a view of the queen as she stepped out onto the floor and waved to the filthy, stinking residents. A gong sounded, and the crowd fell silent. "I ask only one thing of you if you wish to be citizens in the new world I'm offering. Loyalty. Be loyal to our vision. Be loyal to each other. Be loyal to me. And together we will forge a great future. Some of you are new here and have joined us in the last day or so. To you I say, welcome. You are on the path to citizenship. Others of you may have been here for longer. To you, I say persevere. Your efforts do not go unnoticed, and we are preparing room for you above." The queen paused and smiled at the crowd, the foremost rows of whom cheered and applauded enthusiastically, while the rear rows were more cautious. The queen held up a hand, and the applause died down. "Loyalty and citizenship go hand in hand. If one is strong, so is the other. But we are all human, and we all make mistakes. Sometimes that can seem like disloyalty, and for some of you, that is why you have found yourselves here. But take heart, for your fate is in your hands. You have the power to prove your commitment, to remold yourself, and to carve out a citizenship of the highest possible order. This morning, I bring proof of this very fact. Among you is one who had much to prove, one who had much trust to build, but they have proven themselves a thousandfold. It is thanks to their courage and their efforts that we have eliminated the threat from our enemies and preserved the safety of our community." Lopez looked at Lucy uneasily. "I told this person there would be reward if they proved themselves to me, and I am a woman of my word. Today, I am proud to welcome Maurice
back into the new order as a fully fledged citizen," said the Queen. The crowd cheered as the Canadian stepped forwards from the front row, aided by the guards, and bowed before the Queen. "To all of you here today, take heart from this. There is redemption for your mistakes, and there is reward for your loyalty. Think what you can achieve today that might make you a citizen," said the Queen. She ushered Maurice into the lift with her guards and entered after them, waving to the crowd as the doors closed.
5 minutes until roll call. 5 minutes. Back to your quarters,"
called a guard, dispersing the crowds back into their glass cubicles. Lucy and Lopez filed back into their cubicle after the Chinese. A guard shoved a basket of bread across the floor and two bowls of water, then sealed the door. Two of the Chinese dived for the bread bowl, only to be beaten by the third. Clutching the prize, he handed a piece to each person, including Lucy and Lopez, then divided the remaining pieces into equal strips and shared them out. Lopez went to wash his face in the water, but the same man pulled the bowl away from him.
"What the hell?" said Lopez.
The Chinese man pointed to Lopez's arm, then shook his finger. He repeated the gesture until Lopez conveyed he'd understood. They ate their bread while the other three washed their faces and armpits in the water, then slid the bowl over to Lucy and Lopez, who used the remainder. The door slid open.
"Well, well, I guess you kids are with me today,"
said Sergeant Adler, standing in the threshold, taser in hand. His thin lips were cracked in a sinister smile, and his penetrating eyes were amplified by his thick glasses. Lucy grabbed her backpack and vacated the cell with the others. They headed downstairs, flanked by the sergeant.
"Going hiking, young?" said Adler.
"What?" said Lucy.
"Your bag," said Adler.
"We're looting, right? Gotta carry this stuff in something," said Lucy. Satisfied by the logic, Adler shrugged and ordered them out into the forecourt. They crossed under the razor wire perimeter and passed the bus blockade to the street beyond, where a pickup awaited them. Lucy glanced into the open trunk of the crashed SUV. The father's arm hung limply over the backseat headrest. His skin looked gray and moist. She tore her eyes away and hurried onto the loading area. Several other groups were also being escorted to trucks and vans. The guards surrounding and driving the vehicles were armed with pistols and rifles. It wasn't until Lucy's group was loaded into the truck that the supervising guard gave Adler a pistol to accompany his taser. As they drove to the hotel, Lucy's eyes were drawn to the oxidizing bloodstains in the snow and the degrading bodies before them. Priestley had been telling the truth.
"The hotel's worse. Just a heads up," said Lopez, following her gaze.
They arrived at the familiar 5-story hotel with the other trucks. Adler ordered them all off and briefed them on the sidewalk. Lucy's eyes flicked to the parked car opposite. It was the one she'd hidden behind yesterday, before taking the young girl hostage.
"Same drill. Food, drink, drugs, take 'em. If you find a weapon, hand it to one of us immediately. Anything else? Make a call. The better you do, the quicker you'll get your citizenship."
"All right, get along," said Adler.
Lucy followed Lopez inside. Blood stained the walls and carpets as they traipsed through the lobby, where bodies were in the advanced stages of decomposition. They joined a train of other workers and guards pouring into the stairwell.
"We need to catch Willis's group. Go quick," whispered Lopez.
Lucy pushed forwards through the other climbers, barging her way to the front with Lopez close behind.
"It's this one,"
she said, peeling off the third level after the disappearing Willis. Lopez followed her onto the corridor, where Willis stood guard among the dozen workers raiding the apartments.
"This ain't your floor."
His hand was still thickly bandaged.
"Hear us out. I saw you yesterday. I know you don't want to be here. Neither do we. Come with us," said Lopez, lowering his voice, getting close to Willis.
"And go where?"
scoffed Willis through his thick black beard.
"Somewhere you're respected again," said Lopez.
"I'd rather have food than respect," said Willis.
"You used to have both, but your boys have turned on you. You think that's gonna get better?
You're the runt," whispered Lopez.
"Shut your fucking mouth,"
said Willis, reaching for his taser.
"Whoa, cool it,"
said Lucy, raising her hands as some of the other workers passed by, looking on warily.
Look at your hand. Your friends stood by and let it happen. Now they're treating you like crap to curry favor with the queen. You really want to keep going down that path? To hell with all of them, Willis. Take control again. Break out of here with us, said Lucy.
Where would we even go? Said Willis.
South, said Lucy.
Lopez's lip twitched, but he held his tongue.
South?
Said Willis. Like you planned. There's nothing for us here, or north or west of here, so we want to go south. We need warmth and food, and I'm reckoning Mexico has both, said Lucy.
I don't need you two fuckers. If I go, I can make it on my own, said Willis, straightening up.
Then how come you're still here?
You do need us, Willis. Think about it, even stealing the car could attract hostiles. The driver needs at least one shooter to cover them. Plus, with three of us, we could drive almost continuously by taking shifts. We'd only need to stop for fuel.
We're your best chance of escape, said Lucy.
Even if I wanted to help, there are three guards down there, and you two ain't even armed, said Willis.
We need to do this without guns anyway. If we fire shots, then our escape's blown wide open. This has to be quick and quiet.
Give us your taser, said Lopez.
Fuck you, said Willis.
You still have your pistol to use as a club, but us two need something to pull this off, said Lopez.
Willis, if we're gonna do this, it has to be now. The others will start coming down soon. Are you with us or not? Said Lucy.
Willis glanced around the corridor, then unholstered his taser and handed it to Lucy.
Peters is on duty outside on the third van.
I'll tell him Adler wants him instead of me, said Willis.
Will he believe you? Said Lucy.
He'd believe anything if weakness is the reason, said Willis.
He waved his bandaged hand with a grimace.
Okay, so that's one guard down. What about the others? Said Lopez.
We supposed to load the front van first. If you two find something to carry, it'll give y'all a reason to approach the first driver without looking suspicious. Keep the taser hidden, get the driver to open their door, then stun him, said Willis.
Won't the guard behind hear it? Said Lucy.
I'll get to him. Follow me, said Willis.
Lucy and Lopez grabbed a blanket and some pillows each so that their arms were filled, then followed Willis downstairs and onto the street. Willis headed for the third van, where Peter sat behind the wheel, smoking.
Sarge wants you upstairs, said Willis, waving at Peters.
How come?
Said Peters, opening the door and puffing out a plume of smoke, his whole face seemingly shrinking as he did so.
He said something about me being a useless piece of shit, said Willis, waving his bandaged hand.
Peters laughed and got out.
He ain't wrong. Hey, what are these two doing?
Said Peters, spotting Lucy and Lopez.
The fuck's wrong with you two? I told you load the front van first,
snapped Willis, shoving both Lopez and Lucy down the sidewalk.
So much for the chosen ones, snorted Peters, heading inside.
Lucy adjusted her grip on the taser as she approached the front van, shifting the blanket's folds so the tip was poised, ready to fire. She reached the driver's window and stared at the woman behind the wheel, vacantly.
Put it in the trunk, said the driver, her voice muffled by the glass.
Lucy frowned and stepped closer to the van so that the blanket touched the metalwork. Behind them, she could hear Willis engaging the second van's driver in conversation.
Jesus, are you too simple or something? Said the woman, opening the van door. Stick it in the...
Lucy pulled the trigger, and the taser embedded in the guard's stomach. The woman snapped into a rigid contortion and moaned as the volts coursed through her body.
Hey!
Cried the second guard, but Willis silenced him with a pistol whip. Major Lopez dropped the bedding and ran to the second guard, grabbing his pistol and taser, while Lucy disarmed the first driver and hauled her twitching body onto the ground.
Freeze!
Came a cry from the sidewalk. Lucy spun around, pistol in hand. A guard stood in the threshold to the hotel, registering his two incapacitated colleagues. Lucy recognized him as the father she'd seen on the Queen's couch, the man who'd pledged his services to buy medication for his daughter. Armed and in a ragtag uniform, he looked nervous.
Everything's under control. Just be calm, man. There's no need to point that thing at me, said Willis, hiding his pistol behind his back.
What the hell's going on?
Said the father anxiously.
Little misunderstanding, that's all, said Willis.
They're escaping? said the man, his eyes widening with panic.
No one's escaping, man. Just be calm, said Willis, flicking off the safety catch.
They can't go. If they go, the queen will punish us, insisted the father.
Ah, it's cool, man. These two are heading back inside. Would you mind escorting them? I'm supposed to stay with the vehicles, said Willis.
Hands in the air. You should all do that, said the father anxiously.
My hand is straight up fucked, man, said Willis.
Don't screw with me. Hands in the air, all of you, stammered the father.
Lopez raised his hands, revealing the pistol and taser.
Drop them,
cried the father. Lopez obliged.
You too,
said the father, pointing at Willis.
I'm on your side, goddammit, said Willis.
Then show me your other hand, said the father.
The next second unfolded in slow motion for Lucy. Willis whipped his hand around, training the pistol at the father, but the nervous man was quicker. He fired first, hitting Willis in the shoulder. As Willis fell against the car with a cry, the father took aim at Lopez, but Lucy pulled her trigger, striking the father in the chest. The man collapsed to the ground.
Go, cried Lopez, running towards the front van.
Lucy tore her eyes from the father's motionless body and leapt into the driver's seat.
You assholes, what about me? Hey, yo, help, they're escaping,
cried Willis, reaching for his pistol. Another shot fired, and Willis fell silent. Lopez leapt into the passenger seat and pulled his seatbelt on, pistol in hand, as Lucy hit the gas.